Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast is being brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.
You know, some days you wake up and you appreciate, I mean really appreciate, the fact that you woke up free in the United States of America. And we have a lot of problems. Don't get me confused and don't get me going. There are some things that are going on in my country that are just unacceptable, and people seem to just shrug them away. Not me, not you. But we did not wake up this morning in Haiti, where gangs have literally, if you walk in Port-au-Prince, the streets are lined with dead bodies. These warring gangs have taken over. There's no government, just these warring gangs. You know, I've mentioned before that I foster a child. I don't know if that's what you could call it, but I sponsor a child for Compassion International, Judeline, who lives in Haiti. And I've been writing to the school and to all the people that I have contact numbers for, asking how is her community, how is her family, how is her church, her school. And I did get an answer. And they're doing okay where she is for the moment, but it won't be forever. And the idea that in the year 2024, you could have some guy named Barbecue and his gang take over a country, take over the government? Well, yeah, you can. And you can see Cuba going through yet another communist, whatever you call it, revolution. It's not even a revolution anymore. It's just a disaster. And that's happening right there, these two islands in the Caribbean. Bodies are piling up on the streets of Port-au-Prince. It's a civil war. And it's between not one gang and the two gangs and maybe three gangs, 200 separate gangs, no police or whatever they consider the police, or it must be weak as kittens. And now they have citizen-led death squads. Now, I'm old enough to remember, and I know many of the people in my listening audience are old enough to remember the Tonton Macoute and Papa Doc and Baby Doc, and how they literally just slaughtered their own people. And people were afraid all the time. But what we're hearing about today is no less horrific. In many ways, it's more horrific. Just this month, multiple thousands of people have been killed. Rape, arson, kidnapping, murder. And we're sitting here not that far away having the most inane debates, in my opinion, about what our responsibility is to the world community, whether it's in Gaza. I mean, listening to Tony Blinken today, and forgive me, I thank goodness I don't have to add any names to our list of the fallen. But as always, I'm so grateful for the United States military, for the men and women who volunteer to serve and put their lives on the line every single day, even in peacetime. But I woke up in a relatively free country today. I didn't have to worry about Barbecue and his gang. I didn't have to worry about the communist oligarchs in Cuba or in China or in Russia. It's unbelievable how blessed we are and how little appreciate it, how we just don't really appreciate it at all. But today I'm feeling extremely appreciated appreciative, is that the right word? And grateful. It was an accident, by and large, that you were born here. I was born here. Some of us immigrated here. Some of our parents or grandparents immigrated here. But it's still unbelievable because I could have been born anywhere. I don't forget for a moment that it takes the blood of patriots to water the tree of freedom, of liberty. And I will never stop honoring the men and women who serve. I don't care, not one whit. If it bothers anybody, you know, there's a dial on every single radio and device that you could possibly use, and you could stop listening anytime you don't want to hear about how magnificent the men and women who serve this country are. That's all. You know, I'm not going to be shy. I'm not going to be holding back. None of that stuff anymore. So grateful. And if you're not, maybe you ought to really think about it. And maybe you ought to hit the road. That's all. I don't need any more people who have questions about, you know, what kind of country this is. Please. It's a country where I woke up this morning, there was food in my refrigerator. There was more shoes than I could possibly wear in my closet. Okay, I have a shoe problem. I admit it. If I need medicine, I got a Walgreens on one corner. I got Amazon now willing to deliver medicines to me. I've got CVS. I've got everything. Walmart, Walgreens. There are people who are living right now desperate for medication that they need to live, and they can't get it. Either they can't get it because they don't have the money, or it's not available to them. And they have governments who could care less. They're not worried about the health of their citizens. Half of them, I think, are actually orchestrating the end of citizens. It's just so frustrating, really, when I have to listen to the complaints, particularly of a certain younger generation. Not all of them, but there's some Gen Xers who are so ungrateful and so miserable, and want everybody to be miserable with them. And I'm not allowing that poison into my system at all anymore. I got something for you, really. You think you got it bad? I will buy you a one-way ticket to any number of places around the world. You like beaches? I'll send you to Haiti. You like snow, I'll send you to Siberia. Yeah, and then come and complain about America, because you won't. Not if you have even one brain cell left in that head of yours. I will be talking with Eric later on in the program. I'm looking at, you know, some of these stories that TMZ is now literally, I joke about it all the time, but it's not a joke anymore. They're breaking all kinds of stories. They came out first with Kate Middleton's cancer diagnosis. Now, I don't know how they did that. I'll ask Derek later on. But I know that they did. They beat the mainstream media by about 15 minutes. I think half the time the mainstream media is waiting for confirmation from, like, TMZ. They won't run with the story until they see it there or something. But what a terribly, terribly sad story that is. You know, money can buy you medicine, but it can't buy you health. Fame can make it so that everyone knows who you are. And when you walk down the street, people, you know, offer you a smile and a handshake. But it can't buy you cures. And that's the kind of moment. These are the moments where I sit back and I realize that we just need to be more grateful, all of us. There's things going on in lives every day, friends of mine, lives of the friends of mine that are going through health crises. I don't take my health for granted anymore. I wish I could, you know, work out as much as I used to, but I've had to admit, I'm definitely slowed down, and I'm not going to hurt myself. Like my husband, today's his birthday. He says he's in his 71st year, which means it's his 70th birthday. but I let him say whatever he wants today because it's his birthday. But I'm looking at him, and he had a terrible day yesterday. He's got a bad back, and occasionally it flares up. And I could have told you yesterday evening that we were going to have some kind of barometric craziness today because that's how it is. His back starts to hurt. And of course, we had like a monsoon in Broward County. I don't know what it was like in Palm Beach or Martin or Dade, but there were some serious rainstorms here. I got soaking wet. And then with a tickle in my throat that I had had for 2-3 weeks now, I get really nervous because at my age, can't believe I said that, but I did, I don't rally very quickly from anything. So I assiduously try to stay healthy, but I can no longer work out. I told my husband yesterday, he went to the gym, he rode his bike to the gym, and I said, you overdid it, mark my words, because I know we don't want to admit that there's some limitations. But I walk, I try to do things, and, you know, I can't say that I lift weights anymore, because I really don't, but I have these two little hand weights, and I'll pump them for a while because I don't want any of the weakness that I see afflicting so many people right here where I live. So I try. I really do. But today I'm in one of those places and I get in them every now and then, and I'm grateful that I do, where I know how lucky and how blessed I am. And I wish that everybody appreciated how lucky and blessed they are. Now, luck, I don't really believe in luck, but I say that for those of you who get, like, you know, nervous when I say blessed. To me, it's a blessing, straight up. Nothing I did to deserve it. But God gives it to me anyway. That's why it's grace and mercy. If I deserved it, it wouldn't be. Anyway, don't forget to download the app, the 850 WFTL app, if you want to participate in the contests and you want to get all the podcasts. They're right there and available to you. Right now, we are giving away... Oh, let me see. I know I wrote it down here somewhere. Okay. We got a contest with a 4-pack of 1-day tickets to Sunfest, which is, can you believe, 40 years old Sunfest? It's going to be May 3rd to the 5th. As always, along the West Palm Beach waterfront. If you want to enter to win, do it on your app, your 850 WFTL mobile app, or if you don't want to have an app, go to the website, 850WFTL.com. There's other contests that go on all the time, and you must be registered to win. So let me take a quick break. I will be right back.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
So the story that I was telling people a couple of weeks ago about the going public for Truth Social, which is the social media platform that Donald Trump owns and created in response to being banned on all the other ones, whether it was Facebook or Twitter or all of the above, it is going public, and interestingly enough, it's going to double his net worth, which is already like more than any of us, all of us put together. He is expected to gain $3 billion as a result of this Truth Social going public. Investors voted to approve a merger between Digital World Acquisition Corp and Trump Media and Technology Group, which is the owner of Truth Social. This newly combined company could begin trading on the NASDAQ as early as next week under, you want to hear what the ticker name is? DJT. Gotta love him. You know, the same symbol that he used for the Trump hotels and casinos, which filed for bankruptcy back in, I don't know, 2003 or 4. So now, the price per share, just before the vote was announced, was $44. and the newly formed company is going to debut with a $5 billion market value. Remember when you were young and they used to say to you, you need to be rich to make money? Well, that's certainly pretty evident in this. But what it does do is it frees up $300 million that the parent company, DWAC, had raised in its initial public offering. And now that money gets injected into Trump Media, which is going to own Truth Social. So the president himself will literally net billions of dollars on paper anyway. The only way he can access that money is by jumping through a lot of hoops. First and foremost, there's generally a 6-month waiting period before you can do anything. But he's staring at a Monday. I think Monday's March 25th. Yeah. He's staring at a Letitia James, the attorney general's threat that she's going to start seizing his property. And of course, if she seizes it, she can liquidate it for whatever she wants. But it was very interesting today. I always, you got to read between the lines. And you have to try and understand what exactly stories mean when you're reading them. The new word out of Letitia James's office is that Mar-a-Lago, for example, is worth about 10 times what they said it was valued at. Remember, this whole thing is built around the fact that they say Donald Trump inflated the supposed value of his properties. So now that they're considering seizing those properties, they've inflated the value of those properties. Now, doesn't that seem like an extremely arrogant move? But not atypical, right? It did put Donald Trump back on Wall Street, which is important, to have a publicly traded blank check company like DWAC, which literally was established during the pandemic. All the nonsense that was happening on Wall Street in 2020. That's when he formed this company. And then since, I think probably the next year, maybe October of 2021, he said, I want to buy Truth Social. He wanted to form this conglomerate of his properties. And there was a problem. He has to get through. You got to go through all the legal challenges that'll be set out by the Securities and Exchange Commission. And of course, if you're Donald Trump, by the Department of Justice. Because anything they can do to make it harder for you to breathe, they're going to do. So this month, a court in Delaware decided that they could go ahead. They could vote. And if the shareholders okayed it, that they could have this new company, which is basically formed of the two other companies. I think Donald Trump owns 79 million shares, which is about 60% of the whole shebang. So when he's in the middle of facing every financial challenge and then some that a human being has ever faced, I mean, I've never heard of anything like this. Nobody has. $454 million judgment? It's stupid. But this could be an opportunity for him. I don't know how hard it is or how easy it is to liquidate as much as he'd have to. Because, like I said before, you have a lockup provision for 6 months when a deal closes. And that's a pretty standard rule in the financial markets. You can, if you're an early investor in a company, you can't just dump your shares the minute the firm goes public. Because then what would stop people from just taking firms public, dumping their shares and letting the company go to pot? So he probably won't be able to use or sell the shares for the next 6 months. Unless, of course, he gets a waiver. I think he could potentially get a waiver from the shell company that he owns. And that'd be interesting. That was reading one of these big wigs at a U.S. hedge fund who didn't want to give his name. I'm reading this anonymous article, but the publication that it was in has a lot of credibility. So I thought, okay, this is probably a real contender who's just afraid of the Department of Justice. If you affiliated with Trump even remotely, they could come after you. He said that the President Trump could conceptually receive a waiver if the other party agrees to it. And even if they agree, he's still going to have to get loans from banks. Just now he'll be able to use the shares in this company as collateral. But you still got to find banks that are willing to underwrite those loans. I don't think that'll be as much of a problem, but it's not a slam dunk. I wish it were, because I'm tired of watching every single moron who's ever gotten a dime from George Soros and become a DA or anything else go after this man out of sheer, I don't even know, I can't, you know, DJ Trump, whatever they call it, syndrome, Trump derangement syndrome, that's not a sufficient application. Or, in my opinion, it's not an explanation either. So what is it? It's a disorder. And we really need somebody to do some long-term research and find a pill, cure it. So if the president does end up trying to cash out early, that won't help his stock. But I don't think he's worried about that. They have, it's too early to talk about, but it's going to be an interesting story. I do have Robert Bork Jr. coming on the show on Monday to talk about the Apple suit that the Department of Justice has launched. Because if ever there was another genius in antitrust, it's Robert Bork Jr. And this morning I read something that he had written, and he's on exactly the same page I am, which made me feel smart as all get out. But it also led me to do even more research. And so he'll come on Monday and we'll talk about that, because I think there's really no there there. And I think it's an outrage. I think the Department of Justice is so run amok at this point that it should not even be considered the Department of Justice anymore. Just call it what it is, the unjust crew that hopefully in January of 2025 will cease to have any power at all. All right, let me take a break. Stay right where you are, and my plan is to come right back. You know, I'm not the only person out there who can think clearly, even in the midst of all of the noise that the newspapers and the television set and the radio stations will send your way. I can actually separate myself long enough sometimes to have some serious thoughts. And even some people who I would say I've lost a lot of respect for, not that I ever had a ton of respect for them, but I might have had some, and then, you know, that just went by the wayside. Guys like Frank Lutz, the Never Trumper pollster. Even he said yesterday, and good for him that he had the nerve to admit that you don't have to like Donald Trump to see the danger in what the Democrats have done and what they continue to do. Because it's not just persecuting him in the court of public opinion, but now it's persecuting him in court. And when you look at somebody like the Attorney General, Letitia James, who literally ran her campaign on the promise that she was going to go after Donald Trump. Everybody saw that. It's not a, you know, it wasn't hidden. And so when you do that kind of stuff, even people who don't like Donald Trump scratch their head and say, well, then what wouldn't they do? You know, who wouldn't they go after? And I think that this is going to be a very good time for Donald Trump. And I know that's hard to believe, because if anybody came after me the way they come after him, I'd just take my sleeping bag and go off the grid. There's no way I would want to fight. Never mind have a campaign and fight for the presidency, where I know that they'll spend the next 4 years attack, attack, attack. But there's something about the way Donald Trump thinks. And whether you think he's playing 3D chess, or I've heard a lot of different explanations for how he outthinks his opponents at every level, and he does it while acting like a yeehaw. But if this stuff continues, it will continue to backfire. That's the part that's so unfathomable to me. It's not working for them. It's not working for the Democrats. They may be winning occasional races, and they may think that's a big deal. But that's not the presidential race. They have this fatally flawed candidate that they still claim they're going to be running against Donald Trump. And they have been relentless and merciful. Merciless. Now she's talking about seizing Trump properties as part of this civil fraud case. I was looking at a news item yesterday. I mentioned it in my thought of the day about these squatters. Like, this is a legitimate form of housing these days. They come into your house, and if they can manage to stay there for 30 days, now mind you, they put up new doors, they change all your locks, they get electricity in their names, they do all of this, and if they can hold on for 30 days, they now have rights. You lose your rights, and they gain rights. Nobody can fathom how that is possible, but it is. I watched them arrest a woman. She was left her parents' home in New York, and she went, and there were squatters living in it. So she changed all the locks, and the squatters called the police, and the police arrested the owner of the property because apparently she didn't have a right to change the locks so that they couldn't get into her property, which they have now declared is their property. The public looks at that and they don't think Democrat, Republican. They think wrong. That's wrong. None of us approve or agree with that. And it's the same thing we feel when we see someone who has amassed whatever they've amassed. You spend 2 years telling us that Donald Trump is not worth as much as he says he's worth, and then you hit him with a $500 million fine. More. So either he is worth all that he says he's worth, or you're trying to collect money from someone who's not worth what they say they're worth. It doesn't even pass the smell test, and most of us know that. So when they continue to do this, we continue to see it backfire, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but it will always backfire. If they come after Donald Trump's properties, which is what Letitia James has every intention of doing, or certainly what she says she has every intention of doing, that kind of political playbook will guarantee a victory in November, which, by the way, is what I want anyway. So maybe I should just not even talk about it and allow it to unfold, because that's what they're going to get. And I don't know, you know, now it's all like, oh, he could take money from foreign countries. You mean kind of like what Hunter Biden did? I'm not sure what they mean by he could take money from foreign countries. But if they take his property, I think Frank Lutz called it the greatest victimhood of 2024. Guaranteeing that Donald Trump will be elected. I want you to remember that. I want everybody to remember that. It's not just me saying that. It's even Never Trumpers saying that. You're sitting around, all of you news hounds on these major networks, are sitting around going, hey, we can't let him be elected. We have to stop Donald Trump. The more they do that, the more inclined people who didn't support him in the first place are to support him now. And the ones of us who did support him, well, we're just super confident. If they take his stuff, that's all the proof anybody really needs that the federal government and the establishment in the swamp that we call the nation's capital is real, and that he called it from the beginning. Donald Trump called it. All of the politicians across the country, all of the politicians, and then all of the attorneys general who aren't technically politicians, denying a man the right to run for the presidency in spite of overwhelming support is not going to sit well. The attorney general filed judgments in Westchester County, which means she's going after Seven Springs, the golf course. State lawyers entered the judgments with the clerk's office in Westchester County on March 6th, just 1 week after Judge Engoron made official the $464 million decision against Donald Trump and against his sons, Donald Jr. and Eric, and the Trump Organization. And this is just going to all work in the president's favor, in Donald Trump's favor. He's going to go up in the polls just like he went up every single time they indicted him. The indictment, and whether you think it's justified or not, it's not. It proves the things that he's been saying on the campaign trail. That's why he goes up. And it just may elect him president. I don't want anybody to forget that. And Letitia James, the DA in New York, if you play politics on this, which is what they did in Colorado, the Secretary of State there did, and what they did in Maine, his numbers went up in both states. It's pretty pathetic how their opposition to this one man has become so completely out of control that they're helping him. And I'm sure that's not what they intended. How is he beating Joe Biden with 85 indictments that still exist? Felonies, mind you. How's he beating Joe Biden with the economy actually getting somewhat better and some things are cleaning up? I mean, we got inflation. We have this immigration catastrophe. Trump is leading. And in the seven swing states, Trump is up by the margin of error in 5 out of 7. Hey, what can I tell you? Keep on doing what you're doing. It's working for him. Don't forget that coming up after me is Eric Erickson, followed by Joe Pags and Lars Larson. And then we officially enter the weekend. It's Palm Sunday this weekend. So it's going to be a wonderful, peaceful weekend, I hope, for many of you. But I still have one segment left. I'm going to be coming back on with my son Derek at TMZ, and we'll finish things off with a slightly lighter touch. Not that light today, but a little bit lighter than how pathetic politicians are. Stay right where you are. I'll be right back.
They say that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But in the case of Derek Kaufman, the apple rolled all the way to L.A. The one thing Derek and his mother share in common, however, is the love for breaking news. TMZ is breaking news faster than the New York Times. So sit back and enjoy the news from Hollywood, as only the Kaufman family can bring it.
Maybe not. The Kaufman family not going to be bringing it today. But, it's okay because I'll get to rag him about it all weekend. And there's a little bit of pleasure in that for his mom, although not for the audience. I apologize. Sometimes he gets called away at the last minute. This Princess Kate story is pretty intense. I mean, for her to make a videotape and announce her cancer diagnosis is pretty intense. I mean, now you have the king, King Charles, who is battling cancer, although I don't know, have we ever found out what kind of cancer King Charles has? Because I don't remember ever hearing what it was. And we still don't know what kind of cancer the princess has. But she was hospitalized for some abdominal surgery, and there is now, you know, an actual videotape, which is interesting, a video that was posted by the Kensington Palace. And she addresses the public, saying that she was diagnosed with cancer, that it was discovered after her abdominal surgery that she describes as major abdominal surgery in London. At the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. Now, does had been present mean it's no longer present? I just don't know. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of prevent. Okay, well, let's see. Better late than ever, kid. So.
Yes, listen, it's been a very, very busy day around here. Kate Middleton mystery has been solved. So
I know, but what has it really?
That's caused a lot of turmoil in a news office.
Right, but has it been solved? Like, what kind of cancer does she have, and why was she having abdominal surgery, which uncovered it?
That we don't know, but this has at least answered the speculation for now. Who knows what the internet will come up with, because she's now speaking. She's sitting on a bench. She's saying that she had abdominal surgery. They thought they had cleared out whatever was in her stomach at the time, but they, upon testing it afterwards, which is common in surgeries, discovered that she had cancer. So they're doing preventative chemotherapy treatments, which I presume is some idea of just preventing cancer from growing again within her body. She does look very thin, and she said this has been difficult to explain to her three young children. So that's why they're asking for privacy now, although they could have avoided all of this by having this kind of conversation with the public much, much earlier.
Right, and there's something obscene, well, not obscene, but there's something unusual about the fact that her father-in-law has been diagnosed with cancer just prior to her diagnosis, which makes the whole royal family, like, just cancer-ridden. It's very strange.
Yeah, it's certainly unusual. The timing is bad. I mean, you know, Charles is much older, and obviously cancer catches up with a lot of people in their advanced years, but Kate is quite young, you know. I think she's in her early 40s. And so this is unusual, and she does seem to be fighting something. She does look thinner, so the image we got of her out at the farmer's market, which everyone said that person's too thin to be Kate, kind of lines up with that image now. So that seems to be her out walking about with her husband a few days ago, but obviously that caused a lot of turmoil as well, and she's now had to come out and speak to the public.
Yeah, well, and of course, we have to hold our breath to see how Meghan is going to play this out, because she can't have the spotlight taken off her for even 10 seconds. And I think she started some new project, some kind of store where she's selling royal stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, she is starting a new sort of business venture. She used to be a blogger before she met Prince Harry, and now she's getting back into the lifestyle business, because they've tried podcasting, they've tried making documentaries and doing things on Netflix. None of that has really stuck, so she's going back to basics and going to try to sell, I don't know, candles and tea sets.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like people didn't realize how much, you know, who was the Gwyneth Paltrow or somebody who started one of those businesses online?
Oh, Goop is gigantic.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of these lifestyle brands. It's big, big business. I just ate Goop Kitchen last night. It's actually quite tasty.
What's Goop Kitchen?
That is Gwyneth Paltrow's. She has a remote kitchen in Los Angeles where you can order salads and chicken and pastas and all sorts of stuff. And it's really good. It's a big brand now.
Oh, gosh, you guys are crazy. What about this, I don't even know, canned vodka that Jenner has come up with?
Yeah, this is Kylie's new venture. And what's interesting is we haven't heard much from the Kardashians. You've heard a lot of Bianca Censori and a lot of, you know, Kanye West stuff. But Kylie is trying to promote a new seltzer. It's a hard seltzer brand that she's pushing. And she was out at a restaurant, and her mom was there as well, and they got into a little bit of a fender bender. And immediately when the Kardashians get into something that causes headlines, we think, oh, was this a plant? Are they just trying to get headlines for her new booze, which is called Sprinter, by the way, because it hasn't been getting much buzz. I mean, they are not making the headlines that they used to. But, of course, here we are, fender bender between mom and daughter. You immediately start talking about them again.
Yeah, they'll never be out of the public eye. That doesn't work for them. So who else is big? What's going on out there? We only have a minute or two left. What are the
stories? Yeah, you know, the biggest story, I think, of the week has been obviously Kate Middleton. We had a special on it. But the other big story is this Shohei Ohtani gambling saga with his interpreter. So keep checking on TMZ Sports because I think this thing is going to get deeper and deeper. You know, apparently he stole $4.5 million from Shohei Ohtani, and you know, gambling in sports is a big deal. Just ask Pete Rose. So yeah, we'll have to see where this investigation goes.
And in full disclosure, my son once went to baseball camp with Pete Rose, and we both agree that this has gone on long enough, and for him not to be given his just time in the Hall of Fame is crazy.
Give him his plaque in Cooperstown. He's the hit king. I don't care that he bet on a few games during the Reds. It's not relevant. He has over 4,000 hits. Put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think so. All right, kid. Well, have a great weekend. I will talk to you
soon. All right,
take
care, everyone.
All right. And that pretty much does it for me this week. I am just going to offer up some prayers this weekend for the Princess Kate. I've always thought she was a rather nice person. Didn't cause any waves, unlike her sister-in-law. So we'll send up some prayers for her and so many others. May God bless you. May God bless the United States of America. And may God bless Israel. My plan is to be back here on Monday at 3 o'clock. I'll have Robert Bork Jr. on with me on Monday. So you don't want to miss that show. In the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful Palm Sunday, a pleasant weekend, and may God bless you. See you on Monday.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast has been brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.